Colossians chapter 4. I want to go to verse number 2 here this evening. And we'll begin reading in verse number 2 and go down to verse number 6. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And if you'll just follow along, we'll begin in verse number 2. The Bible says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word tonight, and thank you that we can read it, and Lord, we can be challenged by it, we can be convicted by it. God, I pray that each person tonight, underneath your word being preached tonight, Lord, I pray that they would hear directly from you. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them how you want them to receive your word tonight, and God, I pray that you would help all of us not to miss what you have for us tonight. God, would you help all of us to make a decision, Lord, from the message tonight, and may we leave here changed, may we leave here challenged, and determined, Lord, to carry something through a commitment, a decision that we make. God, would you please just bless this church? I thank you for them. I'm thankful that they have invested in church planting, and God, I'm thankful that they have a church planter right now being sent out of their own church, Lord, here to reach another area in Indiana. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless that church plant, bless your church planter that goes, and God, I pray that you would just give them fruit for their labor. God, would you please just visit with us now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak to you on the topic of an open door, an open door. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of doors. Here in the back of the auditorium, we have double doors, and All different places that we work at and different places, such as our home or maybe over at the school or wherever, you have different types of doors. There are bedroom doors, closet doors, cabinet doors, bathroom doors, garage doors, patio doors, double doors, sliding doors, car doors, front doors, back doors, side doors, emergency doors. And we could go on and on and on. But you know what? Tonight, the Bible talks about an open door. And tonight, you may be excited to go out the back door after church for something, but while you're here and while we visit together and while we are challenged by the Word of God, we want to talk about this open door. You know, an open door is not just for church planters, it's not just for pastors, it's not just for those in the ministry. An open door is for each and every one of us. And tonight we're going to look at this open door, and we're going to see what it is. We're going to see who opens the open door. We're going to look at some things here in Scripture that I pray will be a help to you and a reminder to you this evening. Verses 2 and 3, once again, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door." One of the first questions when I was reading through this passage of Scripture was, what is an open door? And I believe that this passage of Scripture tells us what the open door is. A door of utterance literally is translated for the word. The Word of God, that is. And also, the mystery of Christ is salvation and the gospel. So, an open door simply tonight is an opportunity for you and I to share God's Word, specifically His plan of salvation, the gospel, with someone. It was an encouragement earlier to hear, looking your bulletin, because there are several opportunities for you to get involved with going out soul winning. Can I encourage you, mark those times on your calendar this week and weekly, because those opportunities are going to lead you to these open doors, okay? Another question, though, that I had was, who opens these doors? Who opens an open door? So now that we know what an open door is, who gives us the opportunity to share the gospel with someone else? Well, the scripture tells us here in verse number 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door. So you notice there that it's God who is the one, and can I just tell you, he's the only one that can give you and I an open door to share the gospel with someone. I'll never forget, my wife and I, we were traveling. We were representatives for Pensacola Christian College for a couple years, and so we were able to travel on the road and be in different churches, and I remember we were at a particular church one Sunday, and I wasn't preaching at that service. We weren't doing any music or singing. We were just joining them for their Sunday school and their Sunday morning service. And I can remember saying to myself before we went in, oh, this will be kind of nice. I haven't got to sit in a long time and hear someone else preach and someone else teach. Man, this is a great opportunity. I remember coming into Sunday school and finding a seat there, and my wife and I being able to sit down, and I remember someone coming up and introducing themselves as the teacher of the class. And, you know, they were trying to get to know us and things. And so when he found out that I was a preacher, guess what he did? He said, hey, would you like to teach our Sunday school class this morning? I said, well, sure I would. I'd be more than happy to. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, on my feet, and what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I had different messages, you know, that I could preach. But God just put on my heart to share my personal testimony that morning. Little did I know that in the Sunday school that morning, there was a young man from Chicago that had been going through a number of difficulties in his life. And he made his way back home to this church that we were at that morning, and he was sitting in that Sunday school class. He was unsaved. He didn't know if he was going to spend eternity in heaven or if he'd spend eternity in hell. He had no clue. And so that morning, I share my testimony and really didn't know why I was doing it. Just God had impressed that upon my heart. And we finish Sunday school and we go in for the main service. And we sit down. We're back probably about halfway or so. And this gentleman comes in and he sits right next to me. I'm like, you might want to save room for my wife. She might want to sit here too. And he sits right next to me and he says, Josh, he said, I'd like to talk to you about what you were talking about in Sunday school. And I said, sure, I'd love to talk with you. And we went and we dismissed ourselves. And once again, I didn't get to hear the preaching. But you know what? It was okay because I had an open door opportunity to share the gospel with that young man. And he received Jesus Christ as his personal savior back in one of the Sunday school classes. You know what? God did that. God sent us to that church, and you know what? He could have used anybody, but he allowed me and gave me the opportunity to just share what God did in my life, and I was able to share it with this young man, and you know, it was so great to hear about the hopelessness that he had coming in to the service, but knowing the hope that he was leaving with after that morning service. You know what? God's the one. He's the one that gives us those open door opportunities. And those open doors are those opportunities to share the gospel. So we know what an open door is. We know who opens these doors. But there were two other questions as I was reading through these four or five verses of scripture that I had. I'll tell you what they were. How do we find those open doors? You know, wouldn't it be great if every single person that we shared the gospel with accepted Christ as their Savior? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think all of us would be sharing our faith a lot more if we knew that every single person was going to receive Jesus Christ, wouldn't we? But you know what? That's not what we're commanded to do, is it? We know that God tells us that we're supposed to just be faithful to sow the seed. He's the one that gets the increase, right? We know that from Scripture. And so how do we find open doors? And the second question, the last question I had was, okay, when we find them, so we know what they are, an opportunity to share the gospel. We know who gives them to us. God does. But how do we find those open doors, and what do we do when we find the open door? You know what? God doesn't want us just to know what open doors are and just to know who opens them. He wants us to know when and where they are, and he wants us to know what to do when we have those open door opportunities. And as I was looking through these verses of Scripture, I believe the Bible tells us exactly how we find those open doors and exactly what we're supposed to do when those open door opportunities come. I'm going to give you four different words tonight that I hope you'll just write next to these verses or just jot down somewhere, because there are four words this week as you prepare for soul winning opportunities, as you're just out and about doing your common, ordinary, everyday things, your routines. There are four words that I pray will come back to your mind to help you in these opportunities that we call, that Scripture calls, open door opportunities. The first word I want to give you, it helps in answering this question, how do we find open doors? Here's the first word. We pray. We pray. How do we find out open doors? It's very simple. We pray. We ask God for open door opportunities. You know, when was the last time that you prayed before you left your home and you said, God, I know I've got a lot of other things to accomplish today, but the most important thing that I can accomplish is sharing what you've done for me with someone else. God, please bring someone across my path today that I can share you with that individual. You know what? As I was preparing for this message tonight, I was thinking to myself, I haven't prayed that in a while. And right there in the hotel lobby, I was praying, God, would you bring someone across my path? God, before the night's over, will you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? 1 John chapter 5, would you turn there quickly? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14, hopefully a familiar scripture to you about prayer. It says this, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, you can read those verses later, but part of those verses say, ye have not because ye ask not. You know what? I'm convinced that I pray for more things that I know I shouldn't pray for than I do for the things that I know I should be praying for. And one of those things is, God, would you please help me to cross paths with someone who needs you? God, would you give me an open door opportunity to share the gospel with someone? There's a man in our church. His name is Carl. And he told me one time that he asked God for open door opportunities every day. He said he's added it to his prayer list that he goes through in the morning. You know, that's a good thing, to write it down in that place that you're going to be each day so that you don't forget to ask God about it. And he said, you know what I find is when I pray for those open door opportunities, God gives them to me. He said, sometimes he'll give it to me right here at church, and I won't even be expecting it. And people will come by in the lobby, and I'll just ask them, hey, do you know that you're saved? Hey, do you know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? And they'll just say, no, I don't. He said, then we just go in the office and I share the gospel with them. They don't always get saved, but sometimes they do. And you know what I thought to myself? You know, the first thing I need to be doing is I just need to be asking God. God, give me these open door opportunities to share my faith with others. The first word is pray. But the second word, how do we find open doors? We pray, but the second word is watch. Watch. Look for those open door opportunities, but expect God to give them to you. You know what? Sometimes I ask and then I don't anticipate it. I'm not I'm not expecting it. When in all reality, the Word of God tells us that if we pray according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that we hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we ought to be able to get up from our prayer closet or from this altar or wherever we ask God to give us those opportunities. And when we get up, we ought to be watching for them. We ought to be looking for them. We ought to be anticipating those opportunities. I had the opportunity to meet a soul winner in college. And I can remember that this person was, he's the greatest soul winner that I've ever known. Not because of the amount of people that he leads to Christ, but because he consistently shares his faith with others. And I can remember spending time with him one summer, and we were traveling in a tour group. I was singing in this tour group in college, and I can remember it seemed like every single time we stopped for gas or to go in Walmart or we were at the hotel or wherever, I remember he left the church building one time because he saw two kids playing outside, and they were playing King of the Hill or something else, and after he shoved them off the hill, he went over to them, and he said, "Hey, do you boys know Jesus as your Savior?" I said, "No, we don't." He shared the gospel with them, and they received Christ that day. And I was observing this, and I was watching, and not only was he praying for them, but he was anticipating. He was looking for opportunities to share his faith. I think in those 3 months, he probably led about 50 people to the Lord. And you know what? He didn't do it in a prideful way. But he was an example to myself. He was an example to those that were in our group of what we ought to do. And you know what? I started to get excited about it. I remember we were picking up some of the members of our group, and as we were picking up those members from our group, I looked out across the street, and there were these football fields, and there were two boys out in the football field, and they were hitting golf balls in the football field through the uprights. I was like, "Yeah, I like these guys. That's something that I would do, you know?" And so I hop the fence and I go over and I start talking to these young men, and one of them was Catholic and one of them was Methodist, I think, and started talking to them and talking about their interests and things, and then came around to the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And right there in the football field, these two boys bow their head and they pray and they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they receive Christ as their Savior. You know, I'm thankful for the soul winner that God put into my life. I'm thankful that he prayed for those opportunities and looked for those opportunities and was an example to myself and to the others that were in our group. Do you expect God to give you opportunities to share him with someone? You know, I want to challenge you this week to prepare for soul winning. Those times that you're getting ready to go out, prepare for those times. Realize that those aren't the only times that you can share your faith as well. Be praying for opportunities outside of those times and ask God to prepare you for them. Be looking for them. Watch for them. You know, I think it's amazing that we can go on a missions trip or we might have a vacation Bible school. Our church just had a vacation Bible school this past summer, and we get to see a lot of kids receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we pray for a certain number and just all those types of things, and we get so excited about it. And then as soon as vacation Bible school's over, or as soon as that mission trip's over, we don't expect it anymore. We're not as excited anymore. There's a long time that goes between seeing all of those children or all of those folks in the instance that I was down in Mexico receive Christ as their Savior, and then we get back to normal, right? You know what? The expectation should never change. We need to watch. We need also to pray. So how do we find those open doors? We pray for them. We watch for them. We expect them. And then what do we do with those open doors? Verse number 5 says this, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 12 says this, "Walk honestly toward them that are without." If I could give you one word to help you remember what we are to do with those open door opportunities, the first word would be walk. Pursue those opportunities to share the gospel with the lost. Be purposeful in our relationships with those who are lost. You know, it's a shame, but many times as Christians, we react in unbiblical ways toward lost people. And two of the ways that I've seen myself react in an improper or an unbiblical way toward the lost, one of the first ways that I do it is I withdraw myself from them. I withdraw myself from lost people. And what I mean by that is I pull back into this little subculture where life, it seems safe, it seems pure, it seems holy. Or I say, life's so busy and I'm involved in church and I've got all these Christian activities and functions to attend, and when in all reality what it's doing is it's keeping me from all these open door opportunities that God has for me. So many times I withdraw myself, I pull myself away thinking, well, I just want to stay here where it's safe. I mean, I don't want to be spotted with the things of the world, so I'm going to pull back where it's safe, where it's holy, where it's right, and I'll just busy myself with these things of the Lord. I withdraw. You know, another thing I do, though, sometimes is I accommodate. I accommodate. Maybe you've been in that position like I have, and you're tempted to go with the flow of the culture. You're tempted when you're in the lunchroom just to quietly blend in, convincing yourself that you're not worldly so much as simply to refrain from concentrating on aspects of faith that turn non-Christians off to the gospel. So you say to yourself, well, I'll just be quiet, even though they're talking about the upcoming elections. I don't want to start an issue here. They probably know I go to church, but I'm not going to bring up where I go to church because I may offend somebody who isn't Baptist or whatever. And what you're doing is you're accommodating. You're going with the flow. You're really closing an open door opportunity that God gives you. And I'm guilty of that. You know, the Bible tells us that we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are to be in the world, but not to be of the world. This verse here, verse number 3, encourages us to do two things. When pursuing opportunities to share the gospel, we need to be wise in our contact with non-believers. And secondly, we need to be redeeming the time. We need to make the most of our opportunities to tell them the good news of salvation. You know what? You never know how long of an opportunity that you'll have to share the gospel with someone. We must be stewarding our relationships with the lost for the purpose of sharing the gospel with them. Let me give you this word as well. What do we do with open doors? We walk. We pursue those opportunities to share the gospel with the lost. We be purposeful in our relationships with the lost. But the last one as we close tonight is speak. Speak. Just simply share the gospel. Verse number 5 says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You know what? I would just encourage you. I don't know about you, but when I go up to a door, it seems to never fail. I am so nervous. The palms of my hand, they sweat. I have all these thoughts in my mind. Oh, that guy's really big. I hope he doesn't hit me. Oh, I hope they don't slam the door in my face. Oh, I hope. And you know, the devil uses that, doesn't he? To discourage us, to maybe get us to skip a house because that dog sounds awful big. Or, but can I just encourage you that when you're feeling that, just pray to the Lord and just pray, God, just help something that I say to be clear. Just help me share my testimony with someone to plant that seed. God, maybe they've already heard the gospel, and maybe something that I say can just be that water to water that seed today. I'd encourage you to be prepared. Be ready to share the gospel. Share your personal testimony. There are John and Romans, and your pastor, Pastor Ross, was sharing with me earlier that you have John and Romans at times that you will share with folks that have the plan of salvation clearly marked in them. Use those resources that you have to clearly share the gospel with people. Carry gospel tracts with you. Keep them in your car. Keep them in your purses, ladies, because God's going to speak to you, and he's going to give you an open door opportunity because you're praying for them. You're watching for them. You're expecting them. You're pursuing them. You're walking toward them. And then we said also that you are going to speak. When you speak, the Bible says in verse 6, we ought to speak graciously. Verse 6 said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." You know what God has taught me lately? That sometimes I may need to say something different to someone so that they'll understand the gospel better. Now, when I first started sharing the gospel with someone, I pretty much just had the same thing that I said every time. And can I encourage you, if that's what you do, continue to do it, okay? God will use it. You know what God can't use? He can't use the sin of silence. But he can use whatever method it is that you've learned to sow that seed in someone's heart. And but what I've learned is sometimes God will put on my heart some passage of scripture that maybe I wasn't even thinking of when I went to a door. And if you have this thought and you have this idea of when you speak, to speak graciously so that they will understand, not just so that you can tell them and get lost real quick, but so that you can explain the gospel as clearly as you can to them. You know, it's interesting when you go to the door with that in mind, how God will just put things in your mind that you don't know where they came from. God will bless that spirit of you trying to speak graciously to someone. And I would just encourage you to pray, God, help me to speak graciously when I speak with others. Have patience. Don't forget you were once lost too. How many times did you hear the gospel before you received Christ? Now my father, he heard it the first time and he received Christ. But I believe the statistic is somewhere 7 or more times that someone hears the gospel before they receive Christ as their Savior. Be honest. Can I encourage you with this? Don't be afraid to tell them that you don't know the answer to all their questions. And if they're surprised by that, it's okay. Just be patient with them. Just say, hey, I'd love to get back with you. That's a great question. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'll stop by tomorrow. Are you going to be home at this time? Be honest with them. Be real. Don't pretend to understand what they're going through. Point them to the one who does understand. Point them to the one that can help them with what they are going through. As we close tonight, my wife and I, we were at a Christian school in California, and I'll never forget the Christian school. We pulled into the parking lot, and it was when the students were arriving to school, and as soon as we opened our door, one of the families that was dropping off their children for school that morning, they opened their door. And the rock music that was blaring out of that car was so loud. And I thought to myself at first, you know, is that rock music? But then I was just like, man, that girl has got to have a headache, you know, coming into school. And you know, I was just kind of thinking through that and thinking what that girl was experiencing on her way to school and the things that she was listening to and the things that were influencing her life already starting out the school day. We got into the school and we were getting set up and getting ready for the service, and the upperclassmen, they came in and they went to the very back row, and the auditorium there was longer than this one, and they go to the very back row. They have their hoodies on and they pull their hoodies over, and I can see, you know, in between the hoodie and their ear that they've got earbuds in their ear. And I go over to them and I kind of introduce myself to them, and they pull the hoodie down and shake my hand, and oh, I forgot my earbuds, you know. And as soon as I leave, I see them put the earbuds back in and put the hoods back over. And, you know, I was planning to preach something. I don't even know what I was planning to preach that day. But once again, God just put on my heart, share your testimony. Just preach the gospel. So I did, and I noticed that the boys, they finally, and the young ladies that were there as well, they finally took their hats off and they took the earbuds out of their ear, and they were listening to my testimony and they were listening to the plan of salvation. After the preaching, I closed in a word of prayer, and I just said, if anybody's interested to know more about what we talked about in chapel today, just come forward and I would love to share with you more. I turn around and I'm getting some things packed up and we're getting ready to go, and I turn back around and just about everyone that was in that back row was on the front row. And I walked over to them and I was saying, hey guys, can I help you with something? And they just said, well, you said to come forward if we'd like to know more about what you were talking about, and we would like to know more about that. That was the first time and really the only time that I can remember one person, you know, me dealing with seven people at one time. But one after the other, they all bowed their head, they all prayed and asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins, asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. It was about 2 or 3 months later, we were in a hotel and we were on Eastern time zone, and the principal called me, and it was probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night, his time, and so it was 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And he just said, hello, is this Brother Ryan? I said, yes, it is. What time is it? And he said, I just wanted to call you and let you know that our staff, we were going through some of the highlights of the school year, and we remembered that chapel service that you came and shared your testimony. And he just said, I just wanted to thank you for sharing your testimony, and I just wanted you to know that you really made a difference, you know, in the lives of those students, and they really got it. And he said, I just thankful for what God did that day. And, you know, I got off the phone and I didn't wake my wife up, but the next morning I told her that he had called, and we just praised the Lord for that opportunity that he gave to us. You know, if they wouldn't have accepted Christ as their Savior, I was still obedient to what God told me to do. But that day, he saved them and he got the increase. Can I challenge you tonight? Would you pray for these open door opportunities? And would you pray for our family? And as you pray, you know, I don't know different things that'll come to your mind, but pray specifically about these things for my wife and I and our family. Pray that God will give us opportunities to share the gospel with people. Pray that we will pray for those things, that we'll watch for them, that we'll pursue them, and that when we do, that we'll speak. And that when we'll speak graciously. And I would just challenge you in your own soul-winning opportunities to pray, God, give me those open doors, and help me when I see those open doors to recognize they're from you, and just help me to be faithful and a good steward of those opportunities. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach it tonight. And God, I pray that you would just help us to, Lord, see these opportunities. God, sometimes you have to hit me over the head with them. And God, sometimes I don't see them, and sometimes I do see them, and I choose not to share my faith, even though I see it, and even though you're pricking my heart. And God, there are times when you do give me those opportunities, and I do speak up, and I do share my faith, and God, people don't want to hear it. But God, I know that, Lord, I feel like I've done what you want me to do, and God, that's a good feeling in that, in being obedient to what you call us to do. And God, there are other times that you choose for that person to hear and you choose for them to receive Christ as their Savior. And God, that's so exciting. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you use the foolishness of preaching, Lord, to convict people and for people to be drawn to yourself. Lord, would you please work in our hearts tonight? I'm not sure how folks are going to respond, God, how you desire for them to respond, but Lord, help them to respond according to how you've worked in their heart. We pray in Jesus' name.
Good message, a good challenge for us. We're going to have a time of invitation. Pray, ask for those open doors, watch for those open doors. Then when they're there, walk through them and speak up. Let's let the Lord deal with our hearts as the piano player plays.